Brian Edward is here to talk about the world premiere of the new play, Quentin Crisp's Last Word, at the Hamburg Studio of Pittsburgh City Theater on February 6th through February 16th, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Charlotte. I'm thrilled to be here and very happy to be chatting with you today.
Tell us about the new play.
Well, sure. It really is bringing Quentin Crisp to the public here in the year 2020 and introducing him to audiences that may be unfamiliar with him. And when I'm asked to describe who Quentin Crisp was, it's hard to do that without just listing all of these descriptive words. He was a gay icon. He was a writer. He was a raconteur. He was a guru of style. But that hardly scratches the surface. He became world famous, first of all, for his very first autobiography, The Naked Civil Servant, which detailed his life in London, living very unapologetically as a homosexual during a time when it was an arrestable offense. That was made into a movie, which starred John Hurt portraying Quentin Crisp, and that really, I think, is what brought him worldwide fame. So he wrote many books over the years. He moved to America when he was 72 and became kind of a champion of outsider artists in New York City at that time, and made various appearances on late-night talk shows and in movies. So he toured the world with a one-man show, simply called An Evening with Quentin Crisp, in which he would go on stage and talk about how you could develop a lifestyle. And it was really sort of like a TED Talk on how to live a good life, at the same time wildly entertaining. So for this play, we really wanted to portray Quentin's true voice. And there have been a lot of sort of Quentin Crisp tribute type shows over the last 20 years. And what I think makes this one unique is that this is the only one that's been done in cooperation with Quentin Crisp's estate, and therefore the only one that uses purely his own words. That's why on the advertisements for the play and the posters and such, you see Quentin Crisp, The Last Word by Quentin Crisp. So it's extracted very much from that one-man stage performance, and then also from his posthumously published autobiography that he dictated in 1999, shortly before he died, that was essentially his goodbye to the world, in which he, is coming to terms with a lot of very interesting revelations about his own self there. And what you get is not only a very enjoyable evening of theater, but a really introspective look into what actually composed this man's style, which was something he, talked about as far as how other people could cultivate. But sometimes his own was a little bit of an enigma.
What was your inspiration for adapting it?
Well, of course, my admiration for Quentin Crisp himself. I can remember being a teenager in high school, and which is a very formative time for all of us, getting to know yourself. You know, become familiar with really what is your own identity. And I remember seeing the film Orlando with Tilda Swinton, in which Quentin Crisp played Queen Elizabeth I. And I remember thinking to myself, what an interesting casting choice. This man must be somebody. And I pulled that thread and started to research him. And, it just began to unravel marvelously. And I discovered The Naked Civil Servant and read that book when I was 16. And it made such an impression on me as far as the value of embracing what is within your own self rather than striving for things that are outside of that. So from that point onward, I read everything that this man had ever written. And I think, part of the inspiration, too, was to bring his words to people today. Because I think the fact that he was such a good writer often gets overshadowed by his style and his persona that we're all so familiar with. And it was one of my great regrets in life that I never got to meet him. And as you may know, he was very accessible. In fact, when he moved to New York, he insisted that his phone number be published in the Manhattan phone book so anybody could call him up at any time. And he would get death threats, to which he would reply, "Well, would you like an appointment?" But more often than not, it would be dinner invites from total strangers. So when these two posthumous books were published in 2017 and 2018. One of the pieces that was published in there was the script of his one-man show, which had never been published before. And my wheels started turning. I thought to myself, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to, you know, be able in some way to remount that in a way that introduces Quentin to 2020 and really makes the point very clear that all of his writings and philosophies are just as relevant today, even more so than they were when he was sharing them in the 90s. And also to portray Quentin Crisp is such an honor.
How did you become involved?
Well, because I had this idea when the two books came out, I decided to contact Philip Ward, who published the posthumous biography and then the book that followed it. In Pittsburgh, I'm the executive producer of an online arts and culture talk program called Berg Bavant. And when the Crisp Estate was putting out press releases about the release of the books, there was also an invitation to interview Philip Ward. And although we primarily do Pittsburgh-focused arts and culture, I called up one of our contributors, the very brilliant and funny Mike Bazzelli, and said, hey, you know, would you maybe get in touch and see if you could do a phone interview with Philip Ward and we could publish it, you know, on the site? It's not necessarily Pittsburgh-focused, but it's a book which is kind of universal. And we did that interview piece with Philip Ward. And from that point onward, you know, we were all connected via social media and things like that. And I think just over a year ago, I must have been reading the book again, and I think maybe having a glass of wine or two, and just got a little tickled, and I wrote Mr. Ward. And first of all, thanked him for the work he's done to preserve and continue Quentin Crisp's legacy and the wonderful gift of these two new books so long after Quentin left us in 99. And posed the question, did you ever think of maybe, you know, doing the show again? Extracting a completely new show from this posthumously published autobiography. And about 1 week later, I'll never forget, I was working from home on a Wednesday morning, 10:30. I got a call from New York on my cell phone that I didn't recognize. And little did I know that it was that very famous phone number of Quentin Crisp's that was famously published in the Manhattan phone book. The estate has preserved that number, and it's now one of the lines on Philip Ward's cell phone. So it was Philip Ward calling me. And Philip is such a dear and intelligent man. And that first conversation, we probably talked for 2 hours. And I think that he liked a lot of my ideas. And not only that, but the respect that I had for the legacy. And the fact that as I sit here now, I'm 38 years old. And I think as Philip sees it, would be the generation to carry on that legacy. So after a few more conversations, we decided, yeah, let's do this. And I was honored that he determined that I was the one he wanted to cooperate with to make this happen, and also the one he wanted to see portray Quentin Crisp, which again is an honor beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I still have to tap myself on the shoulder and say, this is a reality. You're going to be Quentin Crisp, or at least delivering him to your audience, being a vessel through which he can visit.
What do you hope to accomplish with this work?
Well, first of all, I think to introduce Quentin to audiences here in the year 2020, or reintroduce him, because as I have found, as I hope they will, these philosophies and points of view are so valuable to us now. They really are timeless. And I think in a way, in listening to a lot of what he has to say about developing one's own style, really appreciating what makes you, you, will have people walking away understanding themselves a little better. And I think, hopefully, as a result of that, understanding others a little better, especially when we get into Act Two of this piece and Quentin, you know, shares some very intimate details about himself. I think that, too, it can very much have the similar effect that reading The Naked Civil Servant had on me when I was a teenager, in encouraging me to be myself and embrace that in an environment where I may have thought that I was a little different than other people and there might have been something shameful about that. Actually, the reverse is true. And then, of course, with any work that you know, anyone brings to the stage, you want to tell a story. So we are very much telling the story of Quentin Crisp, why he was famous, what he felt about that. And the biggest emotional journey and revelation that takes place in this is his realization at the age of 90, in 1999, that he was, in fact, not homosexual, but actually transgender. And I think that's really remarkable, because I feel like just in recent years, we are starting to hear the stories of the trans experience in America. These stories are beginning to make it to mainstream media and television and film, and we're becoming, you know, more familiar with them. And a lot of times from a very young perspective, but to hear this perspective from a man like Quentin Crisp in 1999, and at the age of 90, I mean, imagine that, coming to that realization and celebrating it at 90 is a magnificent thing, and also very touching. To tell that story and a further understanding of this wonderful man who is Quentin Crisp.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration, especially heading into the 2020 election?
With great motivation. I think I can safely say to your audience, we're in this together. I think, you know, if you have been an armchair supporter of your own rights, I think it's clear now, just simply the importance of voting. We need to participate in this. This is happening. We are a part of this, whether we like it or not. And the very least of which is having a voice. So I absolutely encourage vote, vote, vote. That is the very least. And I am optimistic because things have become all of a sudden, you know, leaning towards oppression. We're watching much more carefully now, and I really have very high hopes that our LGBTQ community will turn out in very large numbers for the next election. Now, of course, as Quentin would say, we must agree that politics is the art of making the inevitable seem as though it were the result of wise human decisions. So that's a bit cynical, but we do have the power to enact change. I mean, we look back at our own history, we've seen it. And more often than not, great change does come out of times of adversity and oppression. But to look at this, I think, in a glass half full kind of way, and maybe even a little bit of a dramatic one, is there's no great story told without adversity. This is the ball game, and this is the mountain that we have to climb. But it makes us who we are, and I think in the end makes us stronger. And I think now it's uniting us more than ever. So that's why I say we're going to attack this with great motivation.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
First of all, I would say, you are so beautiful. You are so unique. And there is nobody else on the face of this planet that is you. And that's something to celebrate, and that's something to feel good about every day. First of all, it's so important to get to know yourself. And I know that that sounds a little trite, but when you really think about that, I mean, I think so few of us do. With social media, everything being so instant, we're very much living on the outside of ourselves rather than on the inside. And we're taking our cues from everything that's happening in the fast lane before our eyes, rather than turning in and saying, well, what is this about? What is the core of who I really am? And I think that the more you get to know yourself and your own identity, and the more you cultivate that, the more in touch you will be with your strengths. And with those strengths, then, you will know exactly how to deal with adversity in the form of bullying. And a lot of this really coincides with Quentin Crisp's philosophies of, you know, looking at that identity of yours. It's not just your assets, but as Quentin says, it's what your friends call the trouble with you. And the synthesis between those two opposing opinions is your identity. And when you take a trip to the interior to examine that, you must keep in mind that nothing you discover there about yourself is shameful. It's the truth. And that's something to absolutely celebrate. And when you become familiar with that person that you are, the most important thing above all is to define what happiness is to you, not to what it appears to be to other people. Find out what makes you happy and pursue that. And the words or actions of a bully will just be a lot of silly bluster.
How can people get information about the performances of Quentin Crisp's Last Word?
From the ultimate source of all Quentin Crisp information, quentincrisp.org, which is the website for Crisp Toronto, the Quentin Crisp Archives. But quentincrisp.org, all of the links to the tickets and the show information can be found there.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I think the most wonderful conversations come about people talking about what they're passionate about. And I think anytime anybody asks me about that, I really light up. I look forward to that.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
If I had to narrow it down to one that is on my mind constantly every day, it's actually quite simple, but it's simply find the joy. And this, I feel I am applying always. This is, I think, what each of us has to do in this time of Trump. I have had to say to myself, be very conscious of what's happening, but you cannot let this rob you of all the joy in life. Because if I didn't make an effort, it could easily do that. So I have to make a conscious decision to find the joy.